Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. This is a breaking news segment of News in Focus. This week in Cincinnati, we had a press conference concerning the Covington Catholic Christian high schoolers who have been under threat and, of course, abuse and actually threats by coming in from all across the country simply because they were at the March for Life and then the incident that took place at the Lincoln Memorial. With me on the phone is two pro-life leaders in our state. Meg Whitman is the director of Cincinnati Right to Life, along with Mark Harrington of Created Equal. We'll be getting to them in just a minute, but let's go to the press clip of the press conference yesterday. Good morning. My name is Chris Long. I'm the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance and also Christian Alliance of America. And today we are here in Cincinnati to stand in defense and support of the Covington Catholic High School students who have become the target of a hate campaign since their attendance at the March for Life just a week ago. We are here today because we are standing with the students in the face of this torrent of a hate campaign against them and their school. The serious threats that were levied against the students and their school has caused the school to close. It's called athletic programs to be suspended. We understand just by a report that one family had to leave their home because they were doxxed. There were crimes that were committed against these young people who were simply at the March for Life to participate in a civic practice of the March for Life. They were waiting for the bus at the Lincoln Memorial and then began to have this hate campaign levied against them. Let's understand something. These are minors. These are youth. And this is really ridiculous when we're talking about what has become of this situation. And as Christians, and their civil liberties are under assault. So we are today calling for the FBI and the Justice Department to investigate the very serious threats that were levied against the students and the Christian school. And so today with me is Meg Whitman of Cincinnati Right to Life, also Mark Harrington of Created Equal, a number of pro-life, pro-family groups, and religious advocacy organizations have signed on to this letter that today was received by the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., the field office here in Cincinnati, and also the field office in Kentucky. And we're going to meet with FBI officials a little later this morning to discuss the details of these threats and how they plan on pursuing the investigation. I'm going to turn it over to Mark Harrington.
Well, that was from yesterday's press conference at Fountain Square in downtown Cincinnati. With me on the phone is Meg Whitman, director of Cincinnati Right to Life, and Mark Harrington of Created Equal. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Mark, yesterday obviously was very cold. I hope you're both in a warm studio or at your office right now, because yesterday was very brutally cold as we were outside, but is actually a very cold reality of what we're facing with Catholic high schoolers being the targets of this hate campaign generated by the political left simply because they are pro-life supporters. Meg, your thoughts on all this?
Sure. You know, I think that as we look at this situation, I mean, look at these young boys. They took time out of their own day, their own weekend, to say, hey, I'm going to get on a bus and I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to march for the pro-life cause, right? I mean, we're talking about young boys who are exercising their right to free speech and also sticking up for the rights of others, the unborn. And then they had this malicious attack launched against them. I mean, they have the incident that took place and then, of course, the hate campaign that followed. And as I think about this, I think as the pro-life movement thinks about this, it's really, really important that we take a stand and that we defend these young men. Because what we are seeing is this type of behavior all the time. We see a lot of pro-abortion liberals doing this kind of thing. And really, what it is, it's bullying. And they really try to bully pro-lifers and conservatives into what I would call silent submission. They want us to be quiet. They want us to feel threatened. And they want us to think, you know, at the end of all this, is it really worth it? You know, is it really worth all of this hate? Is it really worth my family's safety? You know, because we suffer such vicious attacks from the other side. So it's really important from a pro-life movement standpoint that we get behind these boys. And of course, that is why Cincinnati Right to Life has joined the effort.
Well, thank you, Meg, and I'm so proud that you were with us yesterday. And, you know, it was good to see that the bishop, Bishop Foy, who originally was buying into the false narrative of what took place in Washington as the boys were waiting for their bus to go back home at the Lincoln Memorial, he bought into the false narrative, and he criticized these youth, and he has walked that back. He has apologized as of last Friday. There's still some people that I've talked to. We commend the bishop for apologizing to the boys and the school. And I think he understands as well, as I'm sure he's been briefed by school officials and law enforcement, that the threats against the school and the children are very real. And this is something that is in fact, there's heavy police force continuing at the school for their safety. Mark, your thoughts on this?
Well, the whole thing, as you know, Chris, it's more than fake news. Fake news is what we used to call yellow journalism, and that is that the media is biased. Well, we all know the media is biased. We've known that for a generation. The difference now is it's beyond that. They have now taken sides. The media is, you can't even distinguish the liberal left-wing media from the activists anymore. They might dress differently, they have a microphone and a title, but they're out to destroy everything we stand for, and that is pro-family, pro-life, pro-freedom, liberty, everything like that. And the problem with what happened is that these boys were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they fit the stereotype, it fit the narrative. And that is the number one enemy in America now is a Christian. And if you're a man, if you're pro-life, and especially if you're going to wear a MAGA hat and be identified with Donald Trump, you're now public enemy number one. And so that's really what led to all of this. This is all about 2020, trying to defeat Donald Trump. And the media is totally in lockstep with the activists on the left. So we need to understand that and know what we're up against. And unfortunately, these young men got caught in that crossfire.
With me on the phone is Mark Harrington, director of Created Equal, and also Meg Whitman, director of Cincinnati Right to Life. They stood with us yesterday as 20 pro-life and pro-family religious liberty organizations from across the country signed the letter urging the FBI and the Justice Department to investigate the very serious threats that came in against the students and against the school, actually calling for acts of violence. I don't know, we've gone over on this program some of the tweets that went out by some celebrities, some people known and not so well known, but they were very serious threats. One Saturday Night Live writer was offering a sex act to anyone that would hit the mega kid in the face, and that's Nick Sandman. There was calls for the school to be burnt down with the children in it. There were calls for the school to for a school shooter to show up at the school grounds. There were other threats that came in against the students asking for people to do physical violence against them. This is how heinous this has become. And what were they guilty of? Being Christians, being at a pro-life march, wearing a MAGA hat, and this is what, you know, is this what we've become in this country? Well, let me just tell you, we have called for the FBI, the Justice Department, and the authorities to investigate these very serious incidents. And the good news is, and I know, Mark and Meg, if you were looking at the article in the paper, the indication was that the FBI is looking into it. And I spoke to, actually left a message today to the field office director in Covington, who is on the case. But it's indicated in the Inquirer article that they are working with local law enforcement. So investigators reported Covington Catholic Principal Bob Rowe received 20,000 emails before his account was shut down. While not all were threats, the volume presents a challenge for law enforcement. Sanders said the FBI has provided some assistance with the threats already. Sanders had no comment on whether the FBI or Department of Justice should take the lead in the investigation. There were crimes that were committed against these young people and who were simply at the March for Life to participate in civil practice. Now, we're going to go to a clip right now because there was precedent on this of people making threats on social media. Let's go to that.
The Supreme Court hears arguments tomorrow in a case that examines free speech claims in the age of Facebook and Twitter. Among the issues are postings, public or private forms of expression. Here's Juliana Goldman.
After his wife left him and took their two children, Pennsylvania resident Anthony Alonis turned to Facebook. He says he was venting when he posted a series of violent, curse-laden threats, some of them rap lyrics, against his co-workers and wife. After the post prompted a visit from the FBI, he lashed out at law enforcement too. "Little agent lady stood so close," he wrote, "pull my knife, flick my wrist, and slit her throat." Alonis says he wasn't serious, even using the occasional emoticon to make that clear. But a federal jury found otherwise, sentencing him to almost 4 years.
Other examples are that former Congressman John Boccheri received a threat into his office back in 2009. In 2010, the FBI pursued it with charges. It went to federal court. The man was sentenced to 15 months in prison. What we're looking for is that people be charged for these threats against these students. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, once again, we're living in a new day. I mean, I said yesterday that this is the new normal. I wish it weren't. I'm a civil libertarian. I think many of us are when it comes to free speech. I think the answer to disturbing or off-putting offensive speech is more speech, not less. I don't believe the government should intervene, at least for the most part, and only in extreme cases. The courts have laid those out. I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded building or movie theater, and fighting words are mainly the only thing that they would prohibit, along with certain types of pornography and so forth. So it's very limited what the government can do. But this is clearly fighting words. These are threats to these students. They need to be investigated, and then these people that are doing this need to be brought to justice. So we're just going to see more of this kind of thing. And eventually, someone's going to actually act out on their words, and that would be the thing we're trying to prevent.
Well, that's exactly right. And so you have this Disney producer, Jack Morrissey. He wrote on Twitter, "Mega hats go screaming hats first into the wood chipper," and it has a graphic of a bloody snow scene with a wood chipper, somebody over a wood chipper. This is the kind of threats. And then you had people saying, "Go and hit these kids in the face," all kinds of violence against these boys. That's why the law enforcement there at the school, they shut down school a week ago Monday. They suspended activity at an athletic event on Friday night, and here we are the following week. Now, we hope that this subsides for sure, but then we hope that the FBI will do its job behind the scenes. That's what we've called them to do. If you'd like to join and sign the petition, several thousand people have already signed this petition. It's on the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Just go to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and sign the petition to support the Covington Catholic high school students. And we're standing behind them in solidarity. Mark, you mentioned to me a few years ago at the March for Life that liberals, the aging feminist liberals, were noting of the thousands of young people pouring off these buses to attend and participate in a March for Life. And you said to me that they indicated, look how young they are. Now, of course, what this is the future of the life movement going forward. It is our hope that, the older liberals are dying out, and the young people now, we're moving the needle to more of a pro-life nation. Meg, your thoughts on that, about these young people's participation in the March for Life and how important that is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you look at the statistics, if you look at the studies that have been done on millennials and their stand on the pro-life issue, you will find out that millennials are actually more pro-life than the previous generation. And that is absolutely true. Whatever the media will tell you, we certainly have the statistics to back up that fact. Now, we say more pro-life. A lot of them, you know, are for exceptions and other things, but a lot of millennials do believe in all kinds of restrictions on abortion, which is interesting and not something you're going to find in the older, more liberal generation. So we are seeing, we're at least seeing a shift in the mindset, right? And it's headed in the right direction. And millennials are extremely engaged in the pro-life movement. Students for Life, for instance, is in over 1,000 campuses across the country. And that's huge. They are extremely engaged. They are doing all kinds of good work for the pro-life movement. I can tell you myself that I'm actually a millennial. I'm kind of one of the older millennials, but I know from personal experience that a lot of people do take some issue to some degree with abortion, and quite frankly, when they're educated on it, and Mark can probably speak to this as well, but when they're educated on what abortion really is, a lot of them are against it.
Mark, you have been taking young people on these bus tours for pro-life events. Explain to us what you've been doing with the youth over the last several years.
We call it a justice ride. That is, we charter a bus and we put students in it for a week. We take them from campus to campus, from high school to high school, from abortion clinic to abortion clinic, and we train them on the bus and on the job and in the classroom. And it's one of the most intensive pro-life apologetics training a student can ever have. And when they come out of that week, their life has been radically transformed, and they are now put in the game. And that's the whole idea, is to get these students beyond the theory. You know, I'm against abortion in theory only, but actually practically being against it and doing something that can really make a difference.
Well, and it's so encouraging to see you do this. It's actually these kids are with you for weeks and several months at a time, really engaged in the education of the life advocacy issue and then putting it to practice by going out on the streets and engaging with their generation about the life issue. And, of course, being able to convince some of their counterparts about the atrocity of abortion and talking about the value of life and the culture of life. Meg, you know, this has been the encouragement of the pro-life movement. So no wonder the radical left, and if you throw into that the political environment that we're in right now going into 2020, and it's already begun, we saw a lot of Democrat candidates have announced in the last couple of weeks, most of them, if not all, are for abortion. In fact, that the narrative that is coming out of New York and in Virginia in the last few days is actually abortion to the ninth month. And, you know, it's a little mind-boggling at this day and age. When I was listening to the assemblywoman who was the sponsor of the New York abortion bill that allows for abortion to the ninth month, right up to the time of birth, I thought I was watching a video for 45 years ago of a debate on abortion, not during the time of which we now see through the ultrasound and all the scientific evidence that says that the life in the womb is indeed life, and that the pain capable, that the infant can feel in the womb can feel pain. It can hear sounds. It can hear the sound of its mother's voice. All of the advancements over the last four decades seems to be just set aside when these people, through their rhetoric of discarding the youth in the womb, the child in the womb. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, Chris, I think what's going on here is an act of desperation. I mean, you even have people on the left saying, look, it's a possibility that Roe versus Wade is at some point in the near future going to be overturned. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, this felt like an impossibility, but we're talking about it now, right? And I don't know how exactly, I can't tell you how that's going to exactly happen. But the point is that we even see a lot of rhetoric coming out of the left saying we need to prepare for a situation for Roe versus Wade being overturned. That's why you see what happened in New York. Andrew Cuomo, there were a lot of pieces to that bill, but one of them had to do with the fact that he wants New York to be a pro-abortion state in the event that Roe versus Wade is overturned. And so, yeah, I think it goes back to this You know, it makes me think of the old adage, you know, the night is darkest before the dawn, right? I mean, we are just seeing the last attack and the last, you know, desperate fight. And you're seeing the liberal media get behind them. The liberal media has a lot of power and they have a lot of sway to make us think that their opinions, which is what they often are representative of the entire population. But the election of President Donald Trump, for instance, tells us that that's not true. The media had us convinced that President Trump was not going to win, right? So I think that we need to be careful or just thoughtful about what we're seeing come out and recognize that these are acts of desperation. These are kind of the last fighting stance of the pro-abortion movement. And, you know, we have to continue to fight, and we have to fight harder than ever now, too. We need to think about what happens when Roe versus Wade is overturned. We need to think about state laws when that happens. We also need to think about what infrastructure is in place in order to support the pro-life movement. You know, can our pregnancy centers handle all the women in crisis pregnancy? And how are we going to really change our culture to one of life?
You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you'd like to log on to our website to sign the petition in support of the Covington Catholic High School students, you can do so right at the top of the page. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or log on to ohioca.org or our national identity, caamerica.org. We're going to have in part two, we're going to talk about what's happening in New York and what's happening in Virginia, because Meg, as you've just indicated, that those on the radical left, the pro-aborts, they sense something is happening. It's happening in Ohio just in December. We came one vote short of a veto override to pass the heartbeat bill, which would be the most aggressive pro-life piece of legislation in the nation if we just came one vote short. And we have our new governor, Mike DeWine, who has pledged that he will sign the heartbeat bill if it comes to his desk. So different than Governor Kasich, who vetoed the heartbeat bill. He did vote and sign other pro-life legislation, but he did not sign the heartbeat bill for whatever reason. Governor DeWine has said just the opposite, that he has pledged, and in the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide, he indicated that he would support legislation that would ban abortion when a heartbeat is detected, the most advanced pro-life legislation in the country. And so Ohio is on the precipice of historic territory going into this new year of 2019. Conversely, those on the radical left, they're moving in New York. It's a shame. People in New York are weeping right now when they saw and heard the shouts of applause and the shouts of approval of the passage of that very horrendous pro-abort bill that legalized abortion until the ninth month. We're going to, on the other side, we're going to talk about what this means going into the next year and how the court is looking as striking down Roe v. Wade, sending it back to the states, and the future of the pro-life movement. Meg and Mark, can you stay with us on the other side?
Yep.
Great.
Sure thing.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. If you've missed any of the program, you can log on to our website, ohioca.org, and catch the podcast in its entirety. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
And we're back, and we're talking with Mark Harrington, who is the director of Created Equal. Also, we're talking with Meg Whitman, the director of Cincinnati Right to Life. Meg, I was so glad that you participated in the press conference yesterday. And also, I was just thinking about the years that I've worked with Paula Westwood, your predecessor, and she speaks very highly of you and very complimentary of you, and I can see why. You actually are following a very fine legacy at Cincinnati Right to Life, of course, with the late Dr. Wilkie, and of course, Paula and the good gang there, and you have a great network of pro-life leaders in the greater Cincinnati area. So thank you for what you're doing.
Indeed. Well, you're welcome.
Well, Mark, you know, when we're looking at what's happening right now, as we were talking in last segment about Virginia, and let's talk about New York, because it just really turned people's stomachs. You know, Rush Limbaugh's been talking about this, what happened in New York, and then Cuomo ordering the Freedom Tower, which, of course, is the replacement of the, Twin Towers that were destroyed at 9/11. And he ordered it to be lit up in pink, celebrating this pro-abortion bill to the ninth month, right up to the time of delivery, to be able to kill a child. Unbelievable. But that's what happened when that bill passed in the New York Assembly. There was a sound of applause that came from the Planned Parenthood, NARAL people that were in attendance. I've seen the same kind of crowd in Columbus booing us when we're passing pro-life legislation. I've seen these types before. They are chanting against life and chanting for death. It is demonic, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Mark?
Well, they should have lit up the World Trade Center in red and not pink for all the innocent blood that is being shed in the state of New York. It's horrific. Barbaric, I think, is an appropriate term, Chris. But, you know, I don't want to minimize what's happening in New York. It's horrible. Like I said, it's terrible. And it has woken up a lot of people, which I'm very grateful for. But the truth is, abortion's been going on for 46 years in America, legal abortion. And late-term abortions have been going on in America just as long. Of course, some state legislatures have late-term bans and so forth. But New York, for the most part, this isn't a whole lot of change. I mean, the one thing that's very problematic about the legislation is that they redefine the word person as it relates to a victim of homicide, and they say that they redefine them to be only born and alive. So in order to be a person in New York, according to their statutes, you have to be born and alive. That means that a woman carrying a pregnancy that she, wants and, you know, a wanted child, if that child were killed by a drunk driver or any other means, that child is not protected under New York law. I thought we had already gotten past that in America. You know, we had at least some laws around this, and even national laws that counted those as two people if the woman and the baby were killed. So that's a problem with the piece of legislation. The other is it allows non-doctors, nurses and nurse practitioners to commit abortions. So there's a number of things that are problematic with the law. And it's woken up a lot of people, which I'm very happy for. You can tell that the pro-abortion side's on the defensive when they come out with statements saying, well, no, it doesn't really mean up to the very moment of birth. It really doesn't mean that as the baby's being delivered in the birth canal. They're on the defense of trying to defend this law, and that's a good thing. That shows you that we've made progress when they're kind of trying to roll back or walk back what the law actually does.
More compassion and more sympathy for an animal than there is for a human child. God help us. We're going to go to a clip right now because New York's not alone in this politicizing of abortion in this arena. We're going to go to a clip by Ralph Northam, who is currently the Virginia governor, who was on radio this morning in relation to a bill that was introduced in his House assembly yesterday by its sponsors, very similar to the New York abortion bill as well. Let's go to that clip.
Very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, you know, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I would certainly support more than one provider.
Unbelievable. That was the Virginia governor this morning talking about the abortion bill that would allow for abortion up to the 9th month. Then he goes on to talk about that if the baby's born alive, then have a discussion after the baby's born whether the parent, the mother, and the physicians want to kill the child. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The murderous speech that's coming out of their mouths. Unbelievable. Meg Whitman.
Look, you know, this is exactly the type of behavior that put the abortionist Kermit Gosnell in jail for life. I mean, this is exactly the same thing. Kermit Gosnell was running an abortion facility in Pennsylvania, and he was doing this very thing. Babies were being born alive, and he was snipping their spinal cords. He was killing them. And then on top of that, Kermit Gosnell was, you know, as a serial killer, he was actually keeping babies' hands and babies' feet as some kind of prize. And you know, this is the murderous behavior that you're talking about. So it's the Kermit Gosnells of the world. I mean, there are others like that. I mean, there are some notorious abortionists. James Pendergraf, Steve Brigham, both of which have had their licenses revoked. We have a notorious abortionist here in our area, in the Dayton area, Martin Haskell, who actually is proud of the fact that he kind of touts the fact that he so-called invented partial birth abortion, and that he's very proud of that. So we're dealing with some really, really sick and twisted people who are even willing to do this. Now, something I do want to comment on, because we're seeing a lot of this happen at the legislative level, but let's actually look at what's going on in the population. Operation Rescue does a lot of research on abortion clinics and abortionists, right? And they actually tell us that there are under 10 abortionists in the entire country at this point in time that are willing to kill babies in the womb, like into like late term, so into the third trimester. So it's actually very difficult to find abortionists even willing to do this because it is so dangerous. Obviously, we know it's dangerous for the baby, but it's extremely dangerous for the mother as well. So in actuality, you know, we're seeing the left, you know, push this legislative agenda. The reality is this is not something that the population is even pushing for. In fact, demand for abortion overall is down. And, you know, as Mark so aptly mentioned, there's this piece in the New York legislation that talks about non-physicians being able to do abortions or dispense the abortion pill. This piece is probably more problematic than the late-term abortions, because we aren't going to see late-term abortions probably spike up in these states, but what we might see is the abortion pill usage really skyrocket, because it's pretty easy for someone to start a non-surgical abortion clinic and make a pretty nice profit over getting a non-physician to dispense abortion pills. So, you know, we got to look at the landscape of this, too. And obviously, we can't let legislation like this go through, right? I mean, we've got to fight it as much as we can. But keep in mind that while they're making a big deal over the very horrific language around this, there are also some other things included in these bills that are also very problematic. So we've got to pay attention to all the nuts and bolts of it.
What I'm thinking about Ohio legislators who are watching what's happening in New York and hearing this clip from the Virginia governor, they've got to be livid. They're pro-life. They're as strong as with us on the life issue that you and I are. And I know what they're thinking. They're chomping at the bit. We got to get the heartbeat bill going. We got other pro-life legislation going. I hear that there's a bill that's going to be introduced in the Ohio State House that is basically a bill that says once Roe v. Wade is struck down by the federal court, Ohio immediately is a pro-life state. All abortion is illegal in Ohio. That's a great bill, and it's being introduced. It's a great concept. It's being introduced this session. So there is some good pro-life legislation in Ohio, in the heartland, that's moving forward. And you know, they say Ohio's the heart of it all. What a better place than to move the heartbeat bill forward now in this environment of this lunacy. And quite honestly, this macabre embellishment over there in New York and Virginia that Ohio, along with other conservative states, can move forward with pro-life legislation. And let's not forget, President Trump may have another pick on the U.S. Supreme Court. No wonder the left is out of their minds, apoplectic about this man, because he might be able to put another member on the U.S. Supreme Court, even this term. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, going back to the Virginia governor there, he's wrong on the bill. He says that this has to do with fetal deformity and so forth. No, that's not the case, because they include, in similarly to the New York legislation, abortion is allowed for the health of the mother. That's what Doe v. Bolton handed down in 1973. And, of course, that allowed abortionists and the abortion industry to drive a Mack truck through. They defined health as emotional, psychological, familial, not just physical, and not life of the mother. And so this is the same thing. Basically, a woman can have an abortion up until the ninth month, up until birth, for any reason. If she's emotionally distraught about the pregnancy or the abortion, she can have it. So he tried to make it sound like, oh, you know, if it's a fetal, even then it's wrong, but tried to make it sound like it wasn't as extreme as it is. And the bottom line is this, Chris. Folks like this governor, Governor Cuomo, we're seeing on the abortion industry and so forth, they are out of the closet now. It's out in the open.
Yes.
And they are not holding back in what they truly have believed all along, and that is we should be able to kill babies up until birth. And in some ways, they're finally being consistent. We've forced them now to be consistent because from our perspective, and I think it's right, there's really no difference between a first trimester child and a third trimester preborn baby, other than the fact that they're a different size, their location is different, their environment might be different, and they're dependent on their mother. Those are all age considerations, and we should treat the born like the preborn like the born, and there should be no difference. That's what we call discrimination. And now they've basically been smoked out of their hole now, and they're out in the open, basically advocating for late-term abortion. And in some ways, it's actually a good sign because we have forced them to now be consistent with their rhetoric that they've been holding to for now 46 years.
When we think about the radical left, we think about New York and the East Coast, we think about California, but yet, right after the March for Life in Washington, D.C., there was a large pro-life gathering in San Francisco. Father Frank Pavone was showing the video of it, of the all the pro-life believers in California joining together for a March for Life out there. There's many marches for life all across the country. Cleveland has one, and many communities have them. So the March for Life in Washington is one large March for Life with 250 to 300,000 people to participate, but then there's all these other marches that take place across the country. I think that we ought to give Governor Cuomo a major pro-life march this next year, and also in California and in Virginia. And in fact, I was reading something. He didn't want pro-lifers to come to his state. This was an article. I don't know if that was his exact words. But the fact is, I think we should give him the opposite. I think we should give him a major pro-life march, because I know there's many believers that are livid over what has happened in New York, and they want to go out and say, that's not me. That's not what I believe. I believe the value of human life, that life begins at conception, that all life is worthy of protection under law. I'm pro-life, and they wanted to make a statement and do something about it. Meg, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good point, Chris, because I don't think that what's going on is always at the legislative level or with the New York governor and the Virginia governor is necessarily representative of how the rest of the population feels. And you're talking about these big groups in San Francisco. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that have been coming to Washington, D.C. for 46 years
wow.
in a row to march
yes.
for the life issue. I mean, this is not going away. We are not going away. We never have. We never will, right? We're going to continue to fight this. And, you know, I think to take it to them, you know, I like this point. The reality is, and I think we would get more support than we might anticipate. So Students for Life of America actually recently did a survey. And what they found, and I find this point particularly interesting, is that they found that only 7% of the millennial generation that they surveyed shared the position of the Democratic Party platform, which is abortion without exceptions and abortion funded by tax dollars. Only 7% they could get that said, yes, absolutely, I'm 100% behind the Democratic Party platform on abortion. It's kind of an interesting thing, right?
What was that percentage again?
Only 7.
Oh, wow.
Only 7%, they said, shared the official position of the Democratic Party, which was explained to them as abortion without any exceptions and abortion funded by tax dollars. So that you have, you certainly have people that agree with abortion, but they maybe, you know, agree with, you know, limits or restrictions and things like that. You see a lot of that in the millennial generation. And a lot of that has to do with the millennial generation kind of growing up with this whole idea of social justice and that kind of thing. And when you bring the pro-life movement under that light in front of millennials, it does make sense and it does fit in with the other things that they care about.
We're talking with Meg Whitman, the director of Cincinnati Right to Life, also Mark Harrington of Created Equal. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some closing thoughts. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Well, it's said that courage begets courage, and we want to stand with the Covington Catholic High School students. They came to the March for Life and then became targets of the political left in a hate campaign. Well, we at the Ohio Christian Alliance are standing with them. We have a petition on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance right at the top of the page. You can sign the petition that says, "Today I join the Ohio Christian Alliance and my fellow concerned citizens in calling for the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the dangerous threats that were made against the Covington Catholic Christian School students and to secure their safety and security." And we believe that the FBI is already beginning to work with local law enforcement on that. But this petition will let them know that there are people across the country that support the Covington Catholic High School students. And indeed, we are standing with them in solidarity. And some of those who made derogatory comments or negative comments towards them in believing a false narrative initially are now walking them back and actually apologizing, including the bishop of the region. So that's good news. It's good news for leadership to recognize when they put foot in mouth. And in that instance, the bishop recognized that. So that's a good thing. Well, with me on the phone is Mark Harrington, director of Created Equal, a pro-life advocacy organization, and also the director of Cincinnati Right to Life, Meg Whitman. You know, as we look at this, where I believe that there is a turning point, because I believe now what we have seen when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I think there's people in New York and Virginia that are livid over what they see happening with these very aggressive pro-abortion laws moving forward. I also believe in states like Ohio, where the heartbeat bill is on the precipice of passing, now is going to be an aggression to move forward. President Trump may indeed have another choice on the Supreme Court, and that's why maybe this is all happening, is that it's the struggle of a life and death struggle that's gone on, Mark, as you said, for 46 years in this country. Now, statistics show that abortion is down, but again, you're talking still hundreds of thousands of children that are killed each year in this country by abortion. Meg, your thoughts?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think you said it very well, Chris. I mean, even one life is one life too many. And we aren't going to stop until abortion is completely illegal in the entire United States of America and hopefully even the world, until it is totally illegal and until we can really instill a culture of life in people and help them to understand and value the true dignity of life. You know, and what I hope happens from these events, what we see happening in New York and what we see happening in Virginia, and this issue here that hits so close to home with our boys at Covington Catholic, what I hope we see with these situations is that it really ignites a fire into the pro-life movement and says, wait a second, you know, we need to step up our game again. You know, we need to really get out there. We need to protect our own, you know, protect our movement, protect our right to free speech and our other rights. And of course, at the very core of all of this, fight for the right to life for everyone. The unique thing about the pro-life movement is that we fight for the rights of somebody else. We're not fighting for own rights. We're fighting for the
yes.
rights of somebody else. And that is what we have to remember. And that that is the greatest good that we can possibly do. We know that God is on our side. We know we're going to continue to fight this. But let's use these events, these recent events, to say, okay, we need to step it up a little bit more. We need to be more proactive. We need to pray more. This is a spiritual battle first. We have got to continue our prayers, and we just have to continue fighting day after day after day.
Education and advocacy for the pro-life movement. Mark, give us your web address and how people can communicate with you, and also young people if they'd like to participate in the events that you have going on.
They can go to createdequal.org if they want to find out more about our organization. And to put in a shameless plug, if you don't mind, Chris, I'm also on your radio station, WHK, on 10:30 every Saturday, half-hour program.
Welcome on board.
And show, so people can tune into that.
What's the time again? It's 10:30 Saturday mornings?
That's correct.
Right here in WHKW, 1220 AM. Welcome on board and welcome to the family. We're glad to have you.
Meg,
what's your address and the website where people can reach Cincinnati Right to Life?
Yes, that's CincinnatiRightToLife.org.
God bless you both for what you're doing. The Lord hold you up and protect you both and give you a blessing. I just thank you for what you're doing. And I know you have good teams of people working with you. And you know, there's wonderful treasure in heaven for what you've done. And of course, there'll be a wonderful reunion of the lives that we've saved because we advocate for life. God bless you for being my guest today. Thank you both.
Thank you, Chris.
Goodbye.
And if you've missed any of our program, you can log on to our website at ohioca.org and download the podcast in its entirety. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.